we're headed tonight into that reading and that understanding and that part of the
story. There's a whole lot of things that's already going on, but the idea is that Paul and those that are with him, their main mission is to just spread the gospel. That's all they want to do. They just want to get out there, spread, preach, get the word of God out, and see people saved, because that is the commission. That's the commission that Jesus left for the church. And if you've been studying with us, we went through the first 10 chapters or so, if you will, some 10, 11. As you go through there, you see that most of the action, most of what's going on, happened there at Jerusalem. But then there became a shift in the point of activity, and it was centered around, now, as most of it is, around a city called Antioch. Now, I know they're in Philippi, where we're reading this tonight, but the main action is in Antioch, because that's where the church that sent Paul and Barnabas on the first mission, the church that sent Paul and Silas on the second mission, that's where it's located. That's where it started. That's where the action is. So that's going to be the point of focus, really, for the remaining part of it. With much of the remaining part is going to be, obviously, on Paul and his preaching and his spreading the gospel everywhere that he goes. So if you will, look with me tonight, though, in chapter number 16. And we made our way through the part of the reading where Paul met with the folks down by the river. And Lydia got saved and things began to happen in the city. And I believe other women and other men even got saved, became part of a church that is established in a Gentile land, and it's established in the Gentile people, because there were no synagogues there. There was nothing having to do with the synagogue, so the Jewish population just wasn't very big in that area. And so Paul has started the church, and then you know the story about that we read and talked about last week, how that there was a young lady that was possessed of a demonic spirit, and all she did was cause problem for Paul and those that were with him. And she went around following them, and she just would, you know, scream out and say, these are the men that serve the Most High God and show unto us the way of salvation, all that. Finally, Paul got tired of that, and he put an end to it. He cast the demon spirit out of that young girl. And, boy, when that happened, I mean, he got in trouble with the fellows that were her owners, that were her fellows that kept her going and owned her and were making money off of her. And that spirit was gone. She couldn't do any more of that soothsaying. She couldn't tell nobody what their fortune was. She couldn't tell them where they lost their car keys. I mean, she couldn't tell them nothing anymore. Amen? And, man, I'm telling you, those fellas got upset. They were so upset that they had Paul and Silas jerked up and handled by the magistrates of the city. They had them beaten, and then they had them thrown in jail. And that's where we left off in verse number 23. We'll begin reading there for a little bit of context. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour that night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you again for loving us and bringing us this place this evening. I pray now, Lord, you just give us your hand and your direction and your wisdom. Just help us to see your mercies and your grace and how you reach out to those that may not deserve it, but thank God you still save them. We love you for all that you do and everything that you've done for us, and I pray, God, you'd do it for other folks, work in their lives. If there's somebody here tonight listening in the auditorium, somebody on the way of Facebook, would you speak to them and show them that they need Jesus Christ as their Redeemer, as their Savior, as their only hope tonight? And again, we'll just simply give you thanks and praise for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, we're going to look at Acts tonight in this chapter. And if you will, let's look at this thought. The night the lights went out in Philippi. I don't think I'd make such a good song, but there was one of a little bit similar type. But it did. All the lighting went out. Well, there probably wasn't a whole lot to go out, but there was some darkness and there was some stuff going on in this time that, man, it shook everybody up. Amen. I've been thinking about this as I was reading this and studying. And you think about an earthquake. I mean, we still see today when they show pictures in different places of the world where an earthquake has taken place. A lot of times you see massive destruction. You see people in a panic. You see people that are just doing the very best they can. They're staying outside. They're concerned about whatever else may happen. And could you imagine the situation that goes on here that we have read about? Now, there's an entire situation here, but I'm telling you, as you think about this, I mean, somebody said, and I told you, Mays Jackson used to preach about it all the time when he'd preach on these verses. He said, Elvis Presley might have sang about the jailhouse rock. He said, but God done it. Amen. So God caused this jailhouse to have an earthquake, and God provided something for his servants. And you just have to look at it. You know, there's a lot of folks say, well, you know, that just happened. You won't convince me ever of that. I believe that God had a big hand in that night when everything went sideways, when the world began to shake, and I mean, when people began to get shaken. I mean, you can look at this and you see, man, here's some old song that was one of them old teeny bopper songs that said there's a whole lot of shaking going on. There was here in this situation also. Amen. There's a whole lot of things got shook up. I'm telling you, hey, Paul and Silas got shook up in the beginning and beat and put in the prison. And then I'm telling you, God did some shaking. He shook up the jail. And then the jailer got shook up. He didn't know what was happening. And then, thank God, I'm glad he got more than shook up. He got saved. Amen. And isn't that wonderful to see that God can do those things? But let's look at these verses tonight, if you will, with me. And I want us to think about this as we start out. The first thing I want you to say, let's look at the sounds that were there in the prison that night. There were some sounds that were heard in the prison. And I want you to notice this as you begin to read this. It says, and at midnight, here's Paul and Silas. They have been beaten. Their backs are bloody. Their clothes are torn from them. They're tired and no doubt probably sweaty and in an ugly place. It's not a pretty situation. As a matter of fact, you know, we read that it said the jailer thrust them into the inner part of the prison. He put them, as we'd say today, he put them in solitary confinement. He put them in the most secure place that they could be placed in the prison. He got them locked up and put away. And when he did that, man, they were in, I told you last week how they were locked in with their heads and their arms and their legs stretched out, and it wasn't a comfortable position. So what did they begin to do? There was some sound. I bet you probably heard some other sounds through that prison before. You heard men that would curse the guards and yell at the jailer and scream and make noises just to kind of shake up anybody and anything they could. I've been in the jail before and heard some of those things just when we'd go down and preach and, you know, look to hell. And you'd hear some of those things. You'd see people that just went stark raving crazy. And they began to take their little stuff and clang it on the bars and yell and say, hey, 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 and try to get somebody's attention and curse and all that. I'm sure that was some of the sounds that went on at the jail. But this night, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'll guarantee you those guys ain't never heard nothing like that out of any other prisoners. Let me out of here. They probably heard that. Hey, y'all got me in here. I'm innocent. They probably heard that. I mean, they'd probably heard a lot of things similar to that. When they begin to get all riled and stirred in the jail, I believe they probably heard a lot of things. But they'd never heard anybody do what these two. They're in solitary confinement. They're locked away in the most secure part of the prison. There's no hope of them getting out. There's no good look to what's going on with them. And what do they start doing? They start praying and singing and giving praises to God. Isn't that amazing? Well, but I want you to notice something here. The Bible says when they did this, at the very last part of verse 25, it said, and the prisoners heard them. Now, keep that in mind, that they're listening. You know what that tells me? Other folks are looking at me and you. We may be going through some tough times, some hard things in our life, but I want you to know people are listening to you. They are looking at you. They want to see how your reaction is at these times when things are not going so good for you. They want to know how you're going to handle it. They won't know how you're going to do. And thank God, I'm telling you, hey, your reaction will pay off in a good way if you'll just do what you're supposed to do. But notice, first of all, here's some the sounds of the prison that night. First of all, you heard the sounds of prayer. The sounds of prayer. Aren't you glad that God gives us the sounds of prayer? I love to hear other people pray. Now, I mean, I'm talking about I pray, but there's times I hear somebody else pray. Man, it helps me. I understand they've got hooked up with heaven. I understand they're getting a prayer through. I understand they can do the job. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes you don't even have to hear them. You just have to know that they are praying. You remember the story in the Bible that talks about how that Hannah, the mother of Samuel, how that she prayed before he was born, and it said that the Eli, the priest, was looking at her. He went down, thought she's drunk. She said, I'm not drunk. He said, well, all I see is your lips moving. I don't hear nothing. She said, I ain't praying to you no how, amen. I'm praying to God. Amen. I'm telling you, though, but there's something about the sound of prayers. When people are praying and asking God and pleading, I've heard people plead and beg God and ask Him for some things. I've heard people praise God and thank Him and give Him honor and glory in their prayer. I've seen them cry. I've seen them laugh. I've seen them shout while they was praying and praising and worshiping God. And I believe that's what's going on with Paul in this prison at this night, him and Silas. Could you imagine? There they are. And old Paul looks over at Silas. Silas, how you doing? He said, well, my back hurts some. How about you? No, Paul said, well, I've probably had some better days. He said, but you know what I think we ought to do? Silas says, what's that? Call our lawyer? No, he said, I think we ought to just pray. I believe we'll just ask God. Well, we can't bow. Well, he said, it don't matter. It don't matter what position that your body's in. If you just get your heart in the right place, you can go ahead and pray and get through to God. And the Bible said, here they were at midnight. I mean, hey, they ought to have been asleep. They ought to have been resting. They were probably wearied and tired from everything that happened. But they said, let's just pray. Amen. So you heard the sound of prayer that night. But not only did they hear the sound of prayer, they heard the sound of praise. I mean, the Bible said, here's Paul and Silas. It said that they prayed. And what did they do? They sang praises unto God. They sang praises to Him.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord.
Maybe they sang that. I don't think they did. It wasn't even written then. But, man, they could have sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I mean, there's a lot of songs we sing today. They were probably singing out of the old psalms and the old hymns that they knew. They're singing about the Lord, though. There's a singing. They said, God, we just want to praise you. We're here in jail, but thank God we saw somebody get saved, and we're probably going to see somebody else. Amen. Can you believe that? That they're in there and they're singing songs of worship and singing songs and lifting up the name of Jesus, and oh, they're talking about how great that God is, and they're singing about his mercy, they're singing about his love, they're singing about we just want to praise the Lord and thank him for what he's done, and hallelujah, all that he's done for us. As I said, most of us would be saying, hey, you know a good lawyer? Call that bail bondsman. Get him down here and get me out of here. Amen? Isn't that what most folks do? But you know what these guys did? They just began to sing and praise God and pray. And it said, and the other prisoners heard them. But you know what I think you notice out of that? I believe you can see that out of those sounds, there was the sound of promise. They knew that they had the promise of the Lord. What was that promise? That promise, the Lord said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Hey, everybody else, you see, these guys were not cursing man, but they were blessing God. They was praising him. They said, woo, we're glad that God's our God. Now, I'm not saying they're happy with the situation. I'm not saying they were rejoicing in that. I don't think so. But I think they still had a joy in their soul. And I'm telling you, that's what people need to see. As I said, how would you and I handle this situation? People are looking. People are looking, and whatever it is, you may not be in a physical prison like they were. You may be in some other situation. But, man, the best thing you can do is just worship God and go on and thank him and praise him and say, hey, God, I know some things are going on in my life right now, but woo, hallelujah. Amen. Logan sang that song, Till the Storm Passes By. And I'm telling you, a lot of times in the Christian life, there are storms. There are stormy things that happen in our lives. But you know what? The Lord's still able to meet us and help us through every one of those things. Amen? So we see that there were some sounds. And the prisoners were listening to those sounds that night. But don't you notice something else? There was another sound that came up. There's the sound of a sinner seeking for salvation. Amen? Now, when you think about this, as I said, we're about to get in the part where there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Amen? I mean, there's some things here. But I want you to notice, as we see this, the Bible says, and suddenly, in verse number 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. You notice that? Boy, I'm telling you, when you see that, there is an earthquake. Now, I don't know if you've ever been involved in anything like that. But around here, we've had some very minor ones, very minor earthquakes. And some, you know, and I've had people ask me the next day, did you have a funny rumble or hear that about, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? I can remember one in particular, went back to work the next day, and everybody was saying, I heard a funny sound. What was it? And if you watch the news, they said we had a slight earthquake, a tremor in the earth. Geology and all that, the tectonic plates moved beneath the surface of the earth, and it shifted, and we had a little movement, okay? And they'll say something, they measure them on something called the Richter scale, and it tells you how bad it was, if it's, you know, below a certain point and above a certain point, whatever the damage and all that is. And ours have never been bad here. We're not told what it was, but the Bible said suddenly, it says here, there was a great earthquake. And it was an earthquake such so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I want to tell you this. Just think about that. God knows where his people are. I mean, he knows where they're. There's a lot of folks, as I say, that would say, well, you know, that just happened, preacher. No, it didn't just happen. I believe God was letting those men know, I'm with you, boys. I told you I'd never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm right here with you, and I know what's going on in your lives and at this particular time, and I am here with you. Amen? I mean, but do you notice, I want you to notice this. You notice the confusion of the jailer. Let's look at his confusion. It says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. You see, his confusion. This poor sinner is confused about what's going on. Can I tell you, sinners are always confused about what's going on. And when God starts moving and God starts acting, I'm telling you, sinners get more and more confused. I mean, if you look around, and if you're a saint of God, you look around at the world and you see what's happening around us in the world. Hey, we're like what Jesus said, lift up your head because your salvation is drawing nigh. Look up, man. God's coming back any moment. The Lord Jesus is about to descend. But the world is in a state of confusion. They don't understand it. They don't get it. This jailer was in a state of confusion. Now, one thing, and you think about this spiritually, he was asleep. Amen? You're asleep and you get awakened out of your sleep. Doesn't it shake you up? I mean, a lot of you probably dreamed some dreams or thought you heard something or did hear something outside your house or whatever, and it wakes you up suddenly and you're just like, oh, you don't know. I mean, could you imagine? Here's an earthquake. An earthquake. Now, this is not your usual earthquake. I mean, it ain't what normally happens. But it did happen this time. And it said, and the earthquake was so great that the foundation of the prison, the foundation was shaken. Now, it really doesn't tell us anything else happened, and I don't know. We don't have to know whether anything else happened. But the prison foundations were shaken. Now, this is more than likely a Roman-built facility. And when the Romans built something, they built it well. They built it to last. They built it out of the best material with the finest workmen. I mean, they built it, and they built it right. And so it had a solid foundation. I'll tell you, this world thinks they got a solid foundation in many a thing, but they're going to get surprised one day when God shakes it up. I know a lot of people that think their lives are on a solid foundation. Oh, preacher, I got a good job, and I got a good family, and I got a good income, and I've got a good place to live, and I've got good this, that, and the other. Brother, can I tell you, God can move in and shake up your foundation immediately, suddenly, all quickly can happen in your life. Amen? It can happen that way. And that's exactly what happened here to this fellow. He was confused. I'm telling you, but Paul and Silas, they knew that God was in it and God was with them. You know how? Listen to what it says. I mean, this is, as I say, kind of an unusual thing. It said the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. I mean, isn't that strange? How'd those doors get open? Now, somebody explained in one of the and this is the old writings that I was reading, studying about this, but they said the doors were made a little different than our doors are today, the way they locked. They came together, two doors, and they put a bar between them to lock them. Like maybe some of you have seen that or done that with some of yours that didn't have a normal kind of lock on it, then you'd put a bar in there to secure it. Well, when these foundations moved, it shifted those doors in such a way, they both shifted, the bar fell out, the door fell open. That's how they got out of there. But can I tell you that? I can't figure out how all them shackles, how all them bonds and banding that they had on their legs and their feet and their neck. I don't know how all them. I'll tell you, the only thing I can tell you, God done it. Amen. I still believe God is able to do the unbelievable to me and you. Now, God's not a stranger to visiting prison, is he? He just got through here not too many chapters ago and he visited Peter in prison. He sent one of his angels down there, and you know what? The doors opened at their command. The bands fell off of Peter's arms, and he was loose from the guards that had, and he walked out through the doors. The doors just opened, and he went outside, and he's in the street. How'd that happen? The same way this happened is the power of God. Now, I'm telling you, I do not doubt the power of God. I mean, God's still doing some miraculous things. God's still doing some unusual things. God's still doing powerful things. When you and I will simply say, God, we've just got to trust in you.
Right.
Amen? I don't know what else to do but trust in God. But I'm telling you, it brought confusion to this jailer. Now, can you imagine this? The Bible tells us. Now, we read it, remember? The prisoners all heard Paul and Silas. Somebody said, why didn't they make a break for it when them doors flew open and all that happened? Why didn't they make a break for it? I believe Paul already got their attention. And they knew there was something about him and Silas and that God they'd been singing about, that God they'd been praying to, that God they'd probably even preached about. I believe they just stood there and said, hey, we don't know what these guys are doing, but we better stay with them. They seem to know what's going on. Amen. These guys seem to have something that we hadn't got, and our gobs can't do what their gobs done. So let's just hang around and see what's going to happen. Amen. So you see this guy's confusion. But not only that, the Bible says that he makes a call. He makes a call. It said in the sleep of the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, he thought, well, everybody's got an opportunity. They're out of here. And he had been charged very severely to keep these men in prison or it would mean his life. And he thought, well, I'm not going to embarrass me and my family. I'll just go ahead and kill myself now and get dealt with. I mean, he knew it was going to happen anyway, right? That's what he thought was on the docket for him, death. But little did he know that life was about to come to him. Amen? I mean, here's life like he's never known it. But you see the call. The Bible said that he called for a light. You see that? Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light. Boy, I don't know who gave him the light. I don't know how, but buddy, hey, Paul said, I got a light in here too. Come on in. Let's look at it. He had the Word of God. He had the light of the Lord Jesus. He had a light that lights the whole world. He had a light that'll get on the inside of you and shine in the darkness wherever you may be. Amen? And that's where this fellow was. He was in the dark. Now, I mean, you think about it just kind of logically. Paul and Barnabas and probably maybe the rest of the prisoners are on the inside of the prison. He's looking from the outside looking in, and it all looks dark to him. They're looking from the inside out, and they can see the light at the end of the tunnel wherever he is, right? They can see maybe there's light, maybe there's moonlight, maybe I don't know what is going on. But they can see him. He just can't see them. Amen? And he calls for light. He's got to get in there. When he gets in there, boy, I mean, he calls for a light. He's looking for something in the darkness. This world is still looking for something in the darkness. They're out there drinking in the dark, drugging in the dark, running around, gambling, lying, cussing, cheating, stealing, committing all kinds of ungodly acts in the dark, but they need to call for a light. And I've seen a lot of them that have. Come to church and the lights came on. And the Lord moved in. And thank God their life was changed. I mean, they were living in light. The Bible tells us that we are people of the light. That we're not to be in the darkness. That we were once children of darkness. But now we're the children of the light. Get in the light, y'all. This old boy called for a light. Paul said, I got a good one in here. Come on in. And I'll tell you about him. Jesus that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen. So he calls for a light. But don't you notice this? Notice his cry. You see his call, but don't you notice his cry? The Bible says that he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I'll tell you, those prisoners had heard what Paul and Silas were doing, but I think the old jailer heard it too. He heard a little bit of that amazing grace. He heard a little bit about nothing but the blood of Jesus. He heard something about the God that's high and lifted up and the Almighty One of Israel. He heard something about Him. And do you notice? It said he came in and he was trembling. Now, historians say this fellow was probably an ex-Roman soldier. A lot of them got these jobs where they could make money and support their families when they were out of the Roman legions, but they had a job where they could oversee a prison area, which wasn't such super heavy duty, but they still made good money at doing it. So this, what I'm saying, this ain't some wimpy guy. This ain't Barney Fife, okay? We ain't talking about Barney. Get my billet out of my pocket here. I mean, this guy's a man. This man is a soldier. This man is trained. This man is powerful. This man is smart. This man is somebody that you would look upon him. He's probably a good physical specimen. Buddy, he's trembling. Why? Because I'll tell you, God and His power can make the mightiest, the strong. He can make them into the weakest men on earth when He moves in. Amen. I've seen men come down the aisle before. I've seen them run down the aisle. I've seen them squall in there. And I'm thinking, man, if he was to hit me, he'd knock me into another zip code. Amen. I mean, that's how big they were. But you know what? When God gets on them, they're just like a big squalling baby. Amen. What do you mean? I mean, God means business with them. And this old boy, you hear his cry. It says, here he is. He came trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas. Now, before they were brought before him and he said, y'all kneel down, I'm about to put some shackles on. Now here, the tables turned, didn't it? He falls down trembling before them and he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? One of the sweetest verses in your Bible. And it's a Gentile jailer that is asking the question. Now think about this just for a minute. When you see this chapter, and the thought of the chapter of everything that's happening at Philippi, the first person we see get saved is a little, probably well-to-do, dainty woman by the name of Lydia. And you know what? Paul talks to her. They go down there having prayer. They have prayer meeting all the time, apparently. And Paul goes over, and he begins to preach the gospel. And you know what? She gets saved. You know why? Because she's got a tender heart. She's got a tender heart. But I want to tell you something. The next person that we meet in this chapter is the little girl that's demon-possessed. I want to tell you, God deals with her, and Paul commands the spirits to come out of her. And you know what? She gets a deliverance because we see in her there's the tormented heart. I mean, here's a lady with a tender heart. Here's another young lady that has tormented heart. The devil's tore her life up. And then you come to this man, the jailer. And I believe we could classify him and say this old boy had a tough heart. As I say, he's a jailer. He's a tough guy. He wasn't no pushover. He wasn't no, panty waist. I mean, buddy, he was a man. He was a man's man. But I want to tell you something. When God got on that old tough heart, he softened it up and made it like putty. He got saved the same way everybody else gets saved. You ever seen them old tough guys?
Yeah, preacher, go ahead. Try to preach for me. You tell me. I mean, I eat nails for breakfast, amen. Follow it with a bucket full of razor blades. You know, I mean, they're, you know, tough. Guys, oh boy, they're mean, they're bad. But I've seen God tear them down to nothing.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad he can. I don't know who. Maybe you're there tonight. You think you're a tough guy. Let me tell you, God can pull those props right out from under you, and you can be brought down in a humble place. As I told you, this whole month, you're going to hear a lot about pride. There's a lot of folks eat up with pride. There's a lot of us that have been eaten up with pride. But can I tell you, the Bible said God hates a proud look. You know what he wants? Somebody that comes before him that has a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. And boy, you get close to him, he will humble you. And he tells us to come before him in humility. Do you see this boy right here? As I said, here he is, the tough guy, the big bad soldier boy. I mean, Mr. Mean Man. And all of a sudden, he comes in trembling. He comes in, he falls down in his fear and in his terror. He falls down before Paul and Silas. He says, "What must I do to be saved? I heard y'all talking about people being saved. I heard you talk about Jesus. I don't know why. What can I do?" Boy, aren't you glad Paul had the answer? It says that Paul looked at him, and they say, him and Silas both said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Amen? Boy, ain't that good? I mean, you notice how that this tough guy has become softened. And now, look at it. Let's look at a third thing, if you will. After that, we're going to see and hear the sounds of the saints rejoicing. Now, we heard the sound that went on into prison. We heard the sounds of a sinner seeking for salvation. But now we're going to hear the sound of the saints as they rejoice. Look what the Bible tells you here. He's heard the message, and look what it says in verse 32. "They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." Everybody that lived there at his house, his kids, his wife, and whoever else, if he had servants, we don't know, whatever it was. And look what it says. "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house." What do you mean, preacher? I mean, first of all, look and notice at the words that made a difference. What made a difference in this old tough-hearted, big, bad jailer? What made the difference? Paul said, "Let me tell you about Jesus." And when Paul began to preach Jesus to him, thank God he got saved. And not only did he get saved, everybody in his household got saved. Now, this is just a little preview maybe of something that I might want to say this weekend for Father's Day, but can I tell you, I saw something here the other day that said that when the daddy in the household, when a daddy goes to church, 93% of the time, most everybody else in his house will follow. Amen? Isn't that a good number? You know what that means? That means 93% of the time, if they don't go, then folks don't go to church and get saved. I'm just telling you, if a man will get saved and be the man he ought to be and lead his household, thank God, hey, folks can get saved and lives can be changed and families can be turned into something they never were before. But listen, here's the words that made a difference. I mean, Paul preached the word. Isn't that what it says there? Verse number 32, "And they," I was talking about Paul and Silas, "they spake unto him," they preached the word of the Lord. Those are the words that make a difference. It's the word. Look, we don't need to tell everybody and say, "You know what? We're going to start a social program down at Old Bethel Baptist Church, and if you'll come, we'll make you a better person." Oh, hallelujah. I mean, you'll be a better person to go to hell as a better person. You don't need that. You need to get saved by the amazing grace of God. Amen? And they didn't preach to him and said, "Boy, you need to join church." They didn't preach to him and said, "We need to take you down here to the pool and let's just get you baptized and that's all you need." They didn't take him and say, "Look, you need to just kind of straighten up and do better and act right and do your job." No, they preached the word of God to him. They gave him the gospel. And that's what the world still needs today. Now, pardon me, but you know, as they say, I'm sorry, but not sorry. There's a lot of folks that want, "Oh, preacher, we need to carry the social gospel." You need to get a head examination. Amen. I mean, I believe in helping people, doing what you can. That's all fine. But that's not the call of Jesus. Jesus doesn't say anywhere in this book that says, go and spread a social gospel and get people in a better frame of being. And do. No. He said, tell them that I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe that's exactly what you see here, that Paul, and that's the word. Those are the words that are going to make a difference. The words that's going to, it's the gospel that's going to make a difference in men's lives. But not only do you see the words that made a difference, I want you to notice the work then that was different. Notice what it says here. It said they spake unto them the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And look in verse number 33. These people got saved. And he, that's the jailer, took them, that's Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Woo, how's that working for you? The work was different. I mean, this is a guy that didn't mind kicking the prisoner while he's down. This is a guy that didn't mind spitting in their face while he had them in jail. This is a guy that didn't mind pushing and roughing them up a little bit. But here he is. Can you see this? Here's this old mean, hard jailer kind of guy. And he's down there taking a basin of water and he's washing their stripes. He said, boys, I'm sorry this happened to y'all. Whatever my part was in it, I want to apologize to you. I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry that I treated you the way that I have. And he began to wash their wounds. Maybe he began to dress them with some ointment. Maybe if he had some way to bandage them and fix them up, he did his very best for them. And he tried to love on them. And he tried to help them. Amen? Don't that remind you of the story Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan? When he saw that fellow that had been beaten and left for dead, the priest passed by, the Levite passed by, everybody passed him by, wouldn't do nothing for him. Religion didn't do a thing for him. Just left him where he's at and said he probably got what he deserved. But there was a good Samaritan that came as he was on his way, and he got off of his animal, and he dressed up his wounds, and he cleaned him up, gave him something to drink right there on the road, put him on his animal, took him to the inn, and paid the fare. He said, if there's anything else, when I come back, I'll pay that too. Amen. Huh? What do you say? I'm saying, friend, hey, Jesus makes a difference and changes your heart and your life when you know him. Amen. Amen? I believe that's what we ought to see is, man, when the Lord comes in, he'll do something to you. He'll change you. He'll make you different than what you... Look, that was a work that was different. He's working before. He's into hurting prisoners. He was into... And think about this now. Think about this. Paul was the same guy too, wasn't he? Old Stephen's there, and they're out there stoning him. And it said that they laid their clothes at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. And Saul watched Stephen being stoned. And he looked at old Stephen, looked up, and he said, Lord, lay not this sin under charge. And while he was there, he kept on looking. He said, I see Jesus. Woo! How about that? Standing at the right hand of the Father. And boy, the rest of them got riled up and throwed more stone. Can I tell you right there, I believe that's the beginning. God started loading Paul's wagon. And old Paul said, yeah, I'm big, bad, and tough, and I don't care. And I ain't even worried about that old punky guy right there, you know. But I think every step he took away from that, something in there said, you're mine, boy. I'm coming after you. Amen? And then he met him on the road to Damascus. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting, remember? And then old Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He said, well, get up and go to Damascus, and I'm gonna start you on the road to rough. And boy, can you see that? Paul knew what this was in that jailer's heart. I mean, he wasn't necessarily a jailer, but he sure was a conspirator against the church and against the people of the church. And God forgave him. And old Paul said, yeah, I used to be like you was, but God forgave me and he can forgive you too. And he changed the works that this old boy was doing. Then look at one last thing with me. Notice the witness that showed a difference. He got in his house, and when he brought them into the house, he set meat before them. And he rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Believe he might have had them there serving on the table and had them. He said, Paul, can I say a few words? Paul said, yeah, what do you got to say? He said, I'm glad Jesus saved me tonight. I'm glad God forgave me of my sins. I'm glad my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life now. And I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God. Woo, can you believe that? And he said, you know what? We'll just take a time out and rejoice a little bit. Right. Amen. They rejoiced. Him and his whole house rejoiced at what God had done in their lives. Boy, aren't you glad of that? I mean, God can make a difference. God can make a difference. And he does. You see, here's the sound of the saints rejoicing and the witness. Can I tell you, when you get saved, I believe God will give you a testimony about him. A testimony about him. Not about how bad and you was and all that necessarily. Not about how rough you're having it. But thank God he'll give you a testimony and say, Jesus is still good to me. Amen. And let me tell you how he saved me from that old place that I was in. Amen. Like old David said, I was in a horrible pit. But he came, he heard my cry, reached down in there, pulled me up. He took me out of the miry clay, put me on a solid rock, put a new song in my mouth, and hallelujah. Old Brother Berman Cape used to preach, from the mire to the choir. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad what Jesus can do for folks? What he's done. You've seen these three people that God's made a great difference in their life. A young woman with a tender heart, young lady that had that old tormented heart, and here's a guy that had a tough heart, but the Lord made a difference in every one of their lives. What does that mean? That means he can do the same thing for you tonight. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing some verse of a song.